give thanks unto the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Someone said, Brother DeMar, why did you say that three times? Well, in the Hebrew or the Chaldean language, when an expression is used as mentioned three times, nothing is in the Bible accidentally. And when in Isaiah 6 and verse 3, the angel said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. That meant that God is holy in the superlative degree. And I believe that God is good in the superlative degree. You know, it's a joy and a pleasure to be here today. I appreciate the elders inviting me to come and be a part of this gospel meeting. I can speak for Dixie and Big John and myself. We love this congregation. Jesus said in John 10:10, for the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God wants us, Jesus wants us to have abundant living. Now, I've heard individuals in the church sometimes, you know, this guy got a long face, you know, and he's just never happy. And so he said to me sometime, he said, Brother DeMar, one day I'm going to be happy. And I said, well, when is that? He said, when I go to heaven. But you know, God doesn't want us to wait until we go to heaven to be happy. We ought to be the happiest people on God's good earth. Let's enjoy this gospel meeting. Let's enjoy this fellowship. Let's enjoy our Christian living. Let's experience the joy that God wants us to have. And I was excited. The elders assigned me, and I guess Otis had something to do with this, some topics to speak on. My lesson this morning is entitled, What is Sin and What It Does? And then in the afternoon session, I'll be talking about the beauty of the gospel. I'll be talking about the grace, the love, the mercy. And I hope you'll be here for that session this afternoon. That message, I hope, will be special to you. The beauty of the gospel, the grace, the love, and the mercy. When we talk about what is sin and what it does, we need wisdom in handling that topic. We need wisdom to deal with sin in our daily lives. I'm reminded of the two men that were digging a ditch. And it was about 98 degrees. And they were down in this ditch. And you know, I'm from Mobile, Alabama originally. Folks, it gets 98 to 102 down there, and it gets hot. And these guys were down in this ditch, and they were digging this ditch, you know, and they were sweating. They were soaking wet. And they looked up there, and their foreman, their boss, was sitting under a big oak tree in the shade of an oak tree drinking a cold Coca-Cola. One of them said to his buddy, he said, man, he said, why is it that we're down here in this ditch in 98 degree weather digging this ditch and he's sitting up there under that oak tree drinking a cold Coca-Cola? His buddy said, I don't know. He said, why don't you go up and ask him? He said, you know, I think I will. And so he got up out of that ditch. He went over there to his foreman, the boss. He said, hey, boss man. He said, I want to ask you a question. He said, yeah, what's that? He said, why is it that we're down in that ditch digging this, in 98 degree weather digging a ditch, you're sitting up here under the shade tree drinking a cold Coca-Cola? His boss smiled. He said, you don't have wisdom. He said, what do you mean I don't have wisdom? He said, well, let me show you. So he got up and he walked over to that oak tree and up to the base of the trunk of the tree and he put his hand right out there on that front of that oak tree. He said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to reach, I want with all your might, I want you to rear back and just hit my hand as hard as you can. The old boy looked at him and smiled. He said, now you want me to hit your hand with my fist as hard as I can? He said, yeah. He said, all right. And so the guy put his hand right there in front of that tree. And he said, this guy reared back, man. He came back with a big haymaker. He swung as hard as he could swing. And just before it his hand. He moved his hand. He said, whap! He hit his hand, man. Flesh, blood flew everywhere. You know, and the guy said, see? He said, you don't have wisdom. He said, get back down there in that ditch and dig that ditch. He said, yes, sir. Man, he goes, man, his hand's bleeding. He gets back down in the ditch. His buddy said, well, what did he say? He said, we don't have wisdom. His buddy said, what do you mean we don't have wisdom? He said, well, he said, I'll show you. He said, I want you to wind up. And he said, I want you to hit as hard as you can. He said, I want you to just wind up and hit my hand. Just hit my hand as hard as you can. Yeah, sometimes we don't have the wisdom we need. And I'm praying that all of us will ask God. You know, God gives wisdom when we ask for it, and he give it to us liberally. There's times when we need to pray, and we need to say, oh, God, give me wisdom. We need wisdom in dealing with sin. There was a time when I started preaching 52 years ago that people believed in such a thing as sin. They believed that sin was a reality. They believed that they indeed had sins in their lives. They believed that they had a sin problem. But you see, we're living today in a time when people do not really believe in sin. Many in our culture and society and others around the world deny the existence of sin. They believe that it has been fabricated and that in reality sin does not exist. They do not believe that there is anything that they can really do in their lives that they would be considered wrong, that it would be considered sinful. Because, you see, they do not believe in God and in sin. They do not believe that they are a reality. They simply do not believe that they exist. They believe that God and sin has been fabricated and that it is a big fairy tale. And there is no truth to it. But just saying that God does not exist, and just saying that sin does not exist, does not make that so. I remember when Hurricane Camille struck the Gulf Coast at Pass Christiane and Gulfport, Mississippi, back in 1969. Some of you will remember that hurricane. It was a Category 5 hurricane. It packed winds of 175 miles an hour, and it killed 259 people that were in its path. You may recall the story of how there were 23 people in Pass Christiane at the Richelieu Manor Apartments that were going to have a hurricane party. The officials told them, you need to clear out. They said, oh, no, man. We don't believe it's going to be that bad. You guys are over, it never as bad as you say. We're going to have a hurricane party. Those in the officials that were in the know, they said, you're going to be in the eye wall. The eye wall is going to come right in here. There will be a surge of water that will literally cover this apartment complex that you're in. It's going to be destroyed. Oh, they just laughed. They said, we're going to have a hurricane party, and they would not leave. They would not believe the officials. They would not believe those that were in the know. Those officials knew, those weather forecasters and all, they knew what was coming to the coast. A Category 5 hurricane, 175 mile an hour winds. So they stayed and had their party, and they were going to ride it out because they did not believe that it was going to be that bad. Well, when the surge came, the waters completely covered that apartment complex and washed it away, killing all except one individual in that apartment complex. You see, they would not listen. The point I want to make is this. Just saying And just believing that the hurricane would not be bad did not make it that way. Just believing that God is not real, just believing that there is no such thing as sin does not make it so. God is real. Sin is a reality. Now, individuals can deny it. They can say God's a fairy tale. Sin is a fairy tale. But that does not change the reality of the existence of God or the existence of sin. Just saying that sin does not exist does not take away sin. Sin is real. And I want to say to you today that sin is a great separator. Many in our culture, in our world, and many throughout the world do not understand that sin is the great separator. I want everyone in this auditorium today, right now, to tune in to what I'm about to say. Come on now. I want you to tune in to what I'm about to say. Are you listening? The worst thing that I will say in this lesson today and throughout the day of my being here, the worst thing I can say about sin is this. Sin separates you from God. Listen to me. That is one of the saddest thoughts in this world. Sin will separate men, women, boys, and girls from God. Sin is terrible. Sin is hideous. Sin is horrific. Sin is devastating. Sin is unbelievably cruel. Oh, sin is so cruel. It will separate you from the holy God of heaven. It will separate you from God and Christ and the Holy Spirit for an eternity. Oh, listen. That's why the elders wanted us to have this gospel meeting. We've got to deal with our sins. Sin is real. Sin is devastating. Jesus said that He would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin. Listen to John 16:8. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Yes, there, young people, there is a thing called sin and righteousness and judgment. Regardless of what they're saying in the universities and the high schools of our land. Sin enslaves. All are under sin and there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:20. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Listen to Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man on earth who is good and does not sin. You know, I could continue giving scripture text after scripture text after scripture text showing the reality of sin, showing the destructive nature of sin, showing the horrible results of sin, that sin you need to understand, sin destroys. It'll destroy marriages. It'll destroy a man, it'll destroy a woman, it'll destroy young people. Sin is devastating. However, the strongest point that I can possibly make in this message this morning is this. Sin will separate you from God. That is the saddest thought. Listen, in eternity, without God, oh, how sad. People sometimes say, well, why am I here? I'll tell you why you're here. Listen, Dad, I'll tell you why you're here. You're here to obey God and to get ready to go there. That's why we're all here. This is our testing ground. This is our time of opportunity. This is our time to get ready for eternity. That's why we need wisdom in dealing with this. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God, you want to know what God's gift to you is? The gift of God is eternal life in Christ, our Lord. So God's gift to us, and all, listen, the Lord willing, in afternoon session, we're going to deal heavily with that point. The beauty of the gospel, the grace, the mercy, the love is extended to us. Sin is life's greatest source of disappointment. The world paints a beautiful picture of sin, but sin wears the mask of beauty. But in reality, sin is hideously ugly. Eve looked and saw that it was good to the eyes. She handled and ate, and then the beautiful fruit became hideously ugly. The beautiful neon sign on the building of sin, it leads to the dark alley behind, to the gutter of filth and failure. We need to understand that without exception, sin in our society today is glorified. Sin is made to look beautiful. Just turn your television on, and they will have all sorts of advertisements. The brewers of alcohol, they have been trying for years to bring respectability to their product. Now, they may call it Four Roses, our old granddad, but the end result is always the same. You see, alcohol is the devil's brew. You know, when I started preaching, as I said, about 52 years ago, in the churches of Christ, we just didn't have folks that social drank. You might have somebody in the church, yes, a few that were drinking, but now in this time in which we live, and we've got many that would say, oh, Brother Elam, you're just an old-timey preacher. There's nothing in the world wrong with social drinking. Let me tell you something. Drinking of alcoholic beverages, that's the devil's brew. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your home. It'll destroy your reputation. And it causes you possibly to lose your soul eternally. Young people, think about this. How many people have ever taken, hey, how about a Bud Light? You want a Bud Light? Nothing wrong with a Bud Light. Come on, have a Bud Light. How many individuals took that Bud Light, said, yeah, there's nothing wrong with a little old Bud Light, and drank that Bud Light, thinking, now I'm going to drink this Bud Light so I can wind up beating my wife at some point down the road, being divorced, losing the respect of my children, losing my job and my income, and winding up in a gutter as a wino. Nobody starts out that way. Nobody believes that product of respectability. Oh, Four Roses, old granddad. Nobody believes that product has them. That's the way sin is. Sin is deceiving. Sin is deceptive. It's hard to read a magazine, a newspaper, or watch television without seeing sin portrayed as something beautiful and something that everyone should enjoy. The devil paints a beautiful path for you teenagers. You see, the path that he paints for you, it leads to sin, and then at the end of the day, it winds up in heartache and sorrow. The beer and liquor advertisements never tell you that that product will destroy your soul. How many times have you seen an advert commercial that says, but if you drink it, here are the possibilities? Oh, no. They're not going to tell you. Thousands and thousands and thousands of lives that have been destroyed by this product that's supposed to make you feel good and enjoy it. Got to grab for all the gusto you can. You only go around once in life. You see, they glorify it, and they make it look like it's something that it's not. When the so-called swimsuits of our day and the scanty apparel worn by women today, when this advertised and when women wear this, buy this, and wear these clothes, because after all, if somebody looks on them the wrong way, that's their fault, not the young woman that's wearing it or the woman that's wearing it. I can just imagine somebody in their mind saying, you can tell he's an old-timey preacher bringing up a subject like that. We just don't talk about swimsuits anymore. We don't talk about short shorts that are too short and halters that don't halt. You can tell he's an old-fashioned preacher, but let me tell you something. Sin doesn't change. And when they advertise that little strip of apparel worn here and there, they don't show you the thousands of men that commit adultery in their hearts. Young women, older women, do not think that you can wear such and then say, well, I had nothing to do with it. Sin is deceptive. We need godly women. We need women that profess godliness. Women who adorn themselves in modest apparel. It's not old-fashioned. It's not old-fashioned to preach the truth on this subject. We need it today perhaps more than when I first started preaching the gospel. What about heavy petting, young people, on your dates? Oh, nothing wrong with heavy petting on dates. But it doesn't show the end result of that kind of activity. Thousands of young women expecting out of wedlock. Their life is changed. Their life is destroyed to a large degree. It changes their whole life because of a few moments that were supposed to be so much fun, so much pleasure. Sin is deceptive. The devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Yes, my friend, sin deceives. It fails to tell you the sorrow that is involved with sin. A little boy may eat poison. Here's a little boy. He sees something. It's bright and colorful. He thinks it's candy. He really believes it's candy. And he takes it and he eats it and he dies. Now, wait a minute. He thought it was candy. He thought it would be okay. It looked beautiful. Even when he put it in his mouth, it even kind of tasted good. But it killed him. That's the way sin is, folks. Sin is beautiful. Looks good. Colorful. It looks like it'll be just what we need. Oh, it's gonna be the good thing. But at the end, it can cause death. And I'm talking about spiritual death here. You know, another point to consider is that sin wears the mask of a servant, but really it is a master. Most people are looking for a servant, but a servant can become a master. Most people do not realize the power of sin and what it can do in our lives. You see, one drink, it was just an innocent drink, and it becomes an alcoholic god. One drink leads to another and to another and to another until an individual is captured by sin. Romans 6:17 says, you were the servants of sin. Actually, we are enslaved to whom we obey. Sin wears the mask of advantage, but really it is destructive. Eve thought that she would be wise like God. But what happened? Instead of making gain, she actually lost the advantages that she had. And how typical of sin. Sin promises more than it gives and gives more than it promises. It promises light, it gives darkness. It promises gladness, it gives sorrow. Sin doesn't promise darkness. Sin doesn't promise sorrow. Sin is deceitful, isn't it? Consider this scripture. In Hebrews 3, 12 and 13, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another while it is called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There is a curious tree called the Judas tree. Long before the leaves appear on the branches, the gorgeous blossoms ornament them. They look like scarlet sunbeams caught amongst the boughs and held captive by their interlacings. The brilliant beauty of the crimson flower attracts thousands of tiny insects and bright-winged butterflies, and wild bees come to seek to draw honey from the exquisite cups or the blossom of the flower. But every insect, bee, and butterfly that ventures to light upon the petals of that blossom are overcome by a fatal, curious sort of opiate which the flower juice contains, and that insect drops dead on the ground beneath. Now, if you walk around the Judas tree in the soft grass below, you will be able to see thousands of dead or dying bright-winged insects. You see, sin is like that. The Judas tree indeed reminds me of sin. Sin looks bright. Sin looks pleasant. Sin looks attractive. We may think that there is no harm whatsoever to indulge in it. But lurking behind the pleasure of sin is a fatal poison. All around the Judas tree of sin, we see the dead and dying souls of men, women, and young people. Sin is destructive. Consider for a moment the plight of the prodigal son. The father did not force him to stay home. God will not force you to stay home. God will not force you to live the Christian life. The son was perhaps surprised at how quickly he could get away from home and how far away from home he could get in such a short time. I believe this is true of sinners. Every day sin takes people further and further away from God, just as it did the prodigal son. The son wasted his substance in riotous living. How many, both in the church and out of the church, are wasting their lives because they are participating in sin? The prodigal was no doubt surprised at the ruin and the devastation to his life and the rebellion that was found in his life so quickly after he had left the safety of his home. The prodigal was ruined because of his riotous living. We today need to learn the lesson of the prodigal son. The prodigal son was in a literal hog pen. And we today can find ourselves in a spiritual hog pen. Here's our problem. We want to get, suppose this right here is the edge of a cliff. And it's, I mean, it's like a big cliff. And I say, well, let's see, I want to get, don't worry, I'm okay. I'm going to get a little closer. No problem. Don't worry about me. I'm okay. I'm going to be all right. And first thing you know, whoo, you're over. That's the way sin does. Everything's going to be okay. Hey, don't worry. It's cool. And first thing you know, you've gone too far. And you find yourself over the edge and into the very hog pen of sin. Every prodigal, like the prodigal son, can become a public sinner. We need to deal with our public sins. And God has a way for that. This gospel meeting is going to show all that attend it what to do, how to handle your sin. The prodigal was a public sinner, but you know there is another kind of sin we have to deal with, and that is private sin. Secret sins also lead to disappointment. David had an awareness of God's presence, and he knew that God would not take away his sins without his doing the right thing. He wrote these words, "Cleanse thou me from secret sin." Our problem is this. You can hide sin from me. I can hide sin from you. But we can't hide it from God. I might hide it from you. I might hide it from all of you, but I can't hide it from God. And neither can you. So we need to deal with our public sins. This gospel meeting is going to show us how. We need to deal with our private sins. We're going to need to find the ability to confess in our lives. We're going to need to find that how easy it is to be caught up with sin. But we need to have the courage to come and confess our sins and ask God to forgive us. In the great Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Well, who was this poor in spirit? These Jews that were on that hillside that day, they weren't expecting to hear this sermon from Jesus. Jesus, he shook them. He gave them a jolt. They were expecting Jesus to come and say, "Listen, I've talked to the Father above. You're pretty good. You're righteous. You're religious. You have religiosity. Everything's pretty good with you. you okay? You know, they were kind of anticipating that their righteousness, their own self-goodness could save them. And Jesus said, he opens that great pot, the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus opened up and said, blessed are the poor in spirit. But what does it mean, poor in spirit? I mean, what it blessed, the word blessed means happy. Happy is the poor, the man that's poor in spirit. Jesus was saying, happy is that man who can see his condition, who can recognize that he has nothing whatsoever to offer God. Listen, folks, you don't have any negotiation power, neither do I. We have nothing to bring to the table to negotiate our salvation. We're going to notice later this afternoon, we're saved by grace. Amazing grace. And so Jesus said, blessed is that man who realizes he's poor in spirit. He recognizes he is spiritually bankrupt. You see, we don't have righteousness. Sometimes I've bumped into people and I'm trying to show them the gospel, and they'll say, now, preacher, I just want to say this. I'm a pretty good old boy. You ever heard that? I'm a pretty good old boy. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I don't drink. I'm a pretty good old boy. There's not a man on this earth that does good and does not sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. We must pray that God will forgive us. We must become poor in spirit. And when a man becomes poor in spirit, the Bible then said, Jesus, the next thing he said, blessed or happy is that man who can mourn. Mourn over what? Mourn over your sin. Oh, I didn't think sin was a reality. It's just a fairy tale. No, Jesus didn't believe it was a fairy tale. He wanted us to mourn over our sinful condition. How many of us have recognized our inability? We have nothing to offer. We have mourned over our sins. You see, mourning over your sins causes you to repent. It causes you to confess. It causes you to obey. It causes you to be baptized. A lot of people are resistant to being baptized. They say, well, I believe, but I'm not going to be baptized. Why? Because God has commanded you to be baptized. If you do not do something with your sins, I'm going to have to quit. If you do not do something with your sins will do something with you. They will disturb the conscience, then sear it. They will cloud the intellect. They will corrupt the affections. They will paralyze the will. They will enslave the personality. And they will close the gates of glory against you. Listen to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin. What are the wages of sin? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is deceiving. Sin is life's greatest source of disappointment. Now, if you are a child of God, you know the Bible says we're to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. But you know, some people in life, they go through life, and then when they hit a hard spot, they hit a rough spot, there's something really bad and tragic happening, they do this. Oh God, my Father in heaven, help me. Listen, they have no right to call God their Father. I want to say this in love to you today, and with love in my heart. But none of us here have the right to call God our Father if we haven't obeyed Him. And we haven't accepted the gift of His love we'll talk about later today. His grace. Grace is in Christ. If you reject Jesus, you're rejecting the grace of Almighty God. The beauty of the gospel is that God loves you. When I go into these foreign countries as a missionary to preach, I go in and I say, hey, hey! And they go, they can't believe it. You know, what's fixing to happen? I said, I'm a good news preacher. I got good news for you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus died on a cruel cross so you could have eternal life. Oh, yes, and Jesus wants you to be happy. He wants you to experience life in the fullest. There may be somebody here today that needs to become a Christian. That's what this gospel meeting's about. We're here to try to encourage and to persuade and to preach God's word in a loving, kind manner, but to move you to go ahead and make the greatest decision you'll ever make in life. Accept the grace of God. The gift of God to you is Jesus Christ, His Son. Then when you obey the gospel, you'll be able in times of difficulty, in good times, you'll be able to say, My Father which art in heaven. Because He'll be your Father. Now, if you're a member of the church, and you've let sin get you caught up, let me say this. If you're a member of the church and you're social drinking, shame on you. You need to repent. If you're a member of the church and you're wearing ungodly apparel out in public, whether you're an older woman or a younger woman or in between, you need to repent. God's women are to be modest. They are to adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Now, the sermon's not being preached to make anybody mad. Don't get mad. Get glad. Say, thank goodness I've heard the truth. Thank goodness God loves me, and I want to repent of my sins today. Some in the church maybe need to come home. Sin is deceiving. Sin can make you feel comfortable. But at the end, it will end in eternal punishment. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Sometimes we just get sidetracked and we forget to resist the devil. We start talking like we shouldn't talk. We start acting like we shouldn't act. We drink things we shouldn't drink. And young people, you're so tempted at school. Come on, shoot up one time. I mean, you know, or smoke it. It'll make you feel, woo, go ahead, have a smoke. You know, y'all live in a time of temptation. Yeah, how about a Bud Light? You want a Bud Light? You know, see, good. We gotta have that ability to say no. But see, sin is so deceptive, and we see it on every side, every commercial. So if you've been drawn away by sin, resist the devil today. Come on, man. Confess your faults. Confess your sin. That's what this gospel meeting's about. The elders are giving all of us the opportunity to get our hearts and our lives right. Why? Because we're all going to die. Every last one of us. We're headed to the cemetery. If Jesus doesn't return to judge the world in righteousness, we're going to die. And one day we're going to stand before a righteous God. We're going to stand before His Son, Jesus Christ, in judgment. Now, this afternoon, I believe you'll love that message because it's the beauty we find in the Bible of the gospel. But if you're subject this morning, please come right now while we stand and while we sing.